is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Dr. David Grenspoon of the Planetary Science Institute, but he's also the author of Venus Revealed, and we're going to reveal more of Venus in these next years because there's not one but two NASA plans, robots, to Venus, orbiting Venus and one-time descent. We'll start with the orbiter. David, what is Veritas's mission? What is its profile?
Yeah, you know, what's great about these two missions is that we were in competition with each other. I say we because I'm on Da Vinci, which is the other mission. But we were in competition fiercely because everybody wanted to have the next mission. And yet now that they've selected both missions, we can work together. And it's really a case of the whole being much greater than the sum of the parts because these missions are complementary. In the case of Veritas, it's an orbiter. And the centerpiece of Veritas is a radar instrument that's much more sophisticated than the Magellan radar instrument that we had in the 1990s. So we'll get much more detailed maps of the surface geography, the surface geology and geography. So we'll be able to see in great detail, and we'll even be able to look for motion. So as this spacecraft orbits and then it goes back over some of the previous places on the planet that it's previously mapped, this radar instrument is so finely tuned and calibrated that they can even see if there's been a little bit of differential ground motion in between the different orbits, which will help us understand not just what it looks like, but what level of activity there may be there now on Venus.
The whole mission for the name Veritas stands for Venus emissivity, radio science, INSAR, topography, and spectroscopy. Does that mean this will give us a detailed analysis of the atmosphere, the clouds, and the surface? Can it read all the elements?
Well, it's mostly about the surface. It can do some other observations, but when they're talking about the spectroscopy, this spacecraft, in addition to the radar that I described, there's an infrared instrument because we've learned that there are certain wavelengths of infrared radiation that allow you to see the surface from orbit, which is pretty amazing. You're seeing through the clouds and through that thick atmosphere. But at certain wavelengths, the atmosphere is not very absorbing. And there's one right around 1 micron, which is sort of a little bit longer wavelength than the red light that we can see, which allows you to see right to the surface. So they're going to be looking in that what we call a spectral window and looking at the nature of the spectrum of the surface and trying to understand both what kind of rocks are there and are those rocks glowing with heat, which might reveal recent volcanic flows. So both they can possibly take the temperature of the surface and they can definitely tell us something about what the nature of the rocks on the surface is.
Venus is geologically active. That's hence the volcanoes. It has continents. Do I remember that correctly? We think it's moving the way the Earth moves, the surface?
Well, first of all, we're pretty sure it's geologically active. There are volcanoes all over the place. They could be all dormant, but we don't think so. We have sort of circumstantial evidence that some of them are active. But what a major goal of this next round of exploration is to confirm that and tell us, yes, these are active. The question of continents is a really interesting one. There are certainly elevated land masses of the size of continents, but to really be continents on Earth, in Earth geology, continent means a specific thing. It's rock that's more granite, that's it's a lighter, lower density rock, and it reflects a certain kind of process in the interior. And that's one of the big questions about Venus, because in order to have continents in the way we really mean when we say that word, you need to have had water in the past, because water does the chemical reactions with rock that make those kinds of rock that we consider to be continental rocks. And so on Venus, we believe if there really are continents in the sense of those kinds of rocks that we associate with continents on Earth, then it will be a clue to the existence of a past ocean on Venus. And that's one of the big evolutionary questions we have. Did Venus have oceans? So this question you ask about continents is very, very key towards unraveling that whole history.
Is Veritas sufficient getting this into orbit to answer the question about why it is that a planet in the habitable zone about the size of Earth is this Hades? Is there enough on Veritas to answer those questions or to begin to fill in the blanks?
It will definitely, Veritas will begin to fill in the blanks. But your question brings me to want to bring in the other mission, Da Vinci.
All right, let's go to Da Vinci. That's your baby. All right. Da Vinci's got an element of study from orbit, but also a descender.
Exactly. And with Da Vinci, we have our first opportunity with 21st century instruments to actually probe the atmosphere of Venus. The last time we sent an entry probe into Venus was 1979, or while the Russians did it sort of in the 1980s. But it's been a long time, and we've never done it with modern instrumentation. Now we really know what to look for. So these questions that you're asking about how Venus became the hellscape it is, and whether it was more Earth-like in the past, and what caused it to change, and how recently it changed, those are the questions we're really going at with Da Vinci, because when we can sample that atmosphere, we can look with great detail at exactly what the different elements and isotopes are in there. And we have various theory that can connect those measurements to plausible histories for how the atmosphere got to be the way it is. So by sampling the atmosphere and really seeing in great detail exactly what the elements are in there, I think we can start to unravel this atmospheric mystery.
Da Vinci has an orbiter, but it has a descender that looks like a really smart, let's see, C-3PO. That's right, the little guy in Star Wars. And it's going to descend what it appears to be with a heat shield to go through the atmosphere. It'll be very intense. And then there's a parachute. It all looks like an Apollo coming back to Earth. But it's got all these probes sticking out of it. What can it read?
So it has a few key instruments. It has something we call a mass spectrometer. And that basically ingests a little bit of atmosphere and pulls the molecules and atoms apart, and it can tell us exactly the molecular mass of each of those particles. So it can tell us, you know, exactly how much carbon and nitrogen, and even up to things like xenon and krypton that we really think are going to be diagnostic of the history. We've never measured those, what we call the rare gases of Venus, the things that are on the right side of the periodic table, krypton, argon, xenon, and so forth, with any precision. And having very precise measurements with this mass spectrometer will instantly rule out some possible histories and sort of hone in on the correct history of the planet. And then there's an instrument called the TLS, the tunable laser spectrometer, that actually fires a tiny little laser through the atmosphere and is calibrated so that certain molecules that we really care about will show up with even in tiny minute amounts. So we can go after certain molecular species that we're really interested in, some of the sulfur compounds and some of the compounds that we know are doing interesting chemistry on Venus, but we don't have much knowledge of how much there is, and measure very precisely what these molecules are with these instruments.
Does it have an instrument that can find out that alien organic in the clouds? Can we read it?
Well, not really. Da Vinci does not analyze cloud particles. It analyzes the atmosphere very, very carefully, and so it indirectly can address that question, because it's going to look at the chemistry of the cloud level atmosphere and tell us, you know, depending on what's going on in those cloud particles, it will affect that chemistry. But the clouds themselves are not, the cloud particles themselves are not addressed by Da Vinci. That is something that has to await future missions.
I see in a spectacular video that's available everywhere, NASA's produced, or the Da Vinci team have produced, is going to settle to the planet. Will it last as long as Huygens did on Titan, or longer? Do we have an estimate?
That's a great question. I mean, yeah, one of the really exciting things about this mission is that it is going to descend to the surface, and it will take the first ever descent photography of the surface of Venus. So we're landing in this very mountainous area called Alpha Regio, one of the oldest and most mountainous areas on the planet. And as it descends, it will get images of these mountains, which should be very dramatic and which we've never seen before. And then it's similar to Huygens. That's a good comparison, because Huygens was designed to make it to the surface. And then the designer said, if we're lucky, it might last on the surface and do some additional science, but we're not promising that. It's not within the design floor of the mission. And Da Vinci's the exact same way. We're designing it to make it to the surface, and that's its primary mission. But there's a possibility that it will survive for a while on the surface. And if it does, it could do more science. So there are certain design things you could do to try to ensure it would survive on the surface. But those are beyond the scope of this mission in terms of technology and price. But there's nothing that is guarantees that it won't survive on the surface. So for that part of the mission, we're going to just have to get a little bit lucky.
We're also looking at the Russian-U.S. mission now proposed by Roscosmos that will follow on, be after these two missions. So we can presume some of the questions that are addressed by Veritas and Da Vinci will also be available for what is now called Venera D from Russia. We're looking at something that would launch in November 2029, perhaps reach, aiming to send an exploration in June. I see. Somewhere between 29 and 31. Gosh, David, we're getting on in the century. Have you noticed already? We're able to see 2050. Good heavens. David Grinspoon of the Planetary Science Institute, also of the mission Veritas. Those clouds of Venus have been David's backyard in his imagination, hence his book, Venus Revealed, to be updated soon enough by Da Vinci, Veritas, and we hope Venera D. This is CBS Eye on the World, Hotel Mars Special Edition for Hotel Venus. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.